sweet my lord.
All right, episode 4 of the Pitcast. We are in the back house of Carter's
the outhouse,
back house, the double decker back house. Recording episode 4 of the Pitcast. We have some fun stuff to talk about, some event stuff to talk about, possibly some 95, some call outs.
Yeah, we got a kind of a calm before the storm here, with LobsterCon on the horizon.
Maybe
on a weekend. It's still figuring out the logistics of where the old school is going to be. It's going to happen.
Yeah, I know people are asking about it. Unfortunately, I can't make it this year, but it's still going to be a good time. I'm going to live
also,
through your pictures and everything like that.
I also am going to have to sit out. It's going to be a huge bummer.
Yeah,
but well, I'll be there.
Yeah, it's it's gonna be good. But first off, I was given a pack of Fallen Empires from Mace, and I meant to open it last episode to
do
Mace. I've actually only really got to meet him through the Players Ball, but I met him through Twitter. Plays old school.
The guy at the ball that was doing those is like a.
You would add up the CMC of the pack, and whoever won that CMC cost battle would then go first. He threw one at me, and I was like confused and kind of drunk, and I was like, oh, sweet. And then I put it in my bag, and I never opened it. But I wanted to open it for a pack one, pick one. And we can just go just a little quick.
So what are we hoping for here?
Deep spawn.
So, well, actually, in terms of draft, right? Because that's what you mean by
pack one, pick one. But it is only eight cards, so we're down 6 cards. So you normally, like, if we were to do like a 3 15 card boosters, we would do 4. So think of this as you're going to see 4 packs of Fallen Empires instead of 3.
I guess Aeliopile is really good because it's unconditional removal. And colorless. Him to Torak is obviously an insanely powerful card, but I don't know. Does sort of falls off the late game. There's lots of like warrior synergies or soldier synergies. So
I don't know.
Lieutenant and soldier and shit like that.
Yeah.
Okay.
Aeliopile. I'd be happy if we open the Aeliopile.
I'm gonna get all these. Ooh. Well, that's. I don't know if you'd see enough goblins for that card to be any good. You would need like. At least 8 goblins, but then you're playing 1/1s that are probably not going to get you there. But all right, first card is Order of the Ibn Hand.
Okay, excellent card.
Ooh, Thorn Thalid.
So Thorn Thalid is
he builds up the counters and then he can tim.
Oh, and then he pins.
So that's pretty good.
People.
That's pretty good.
That actually is really really good.
What is he? 2 and 2 green.
He's 1 and 2 green for a 2/2. Every upkeep he gets a spore counter, you got to remove 3 spore counters, and all the Thalids work the same way.
Third turn, you can tim.
Yeah. But it's all and it's also a 2.
He doesn't tap to tim.
Yeah.
He doesn't tap to tim.
And we got a him to Torak.
Oh my God! Ooh.
With the best art, I think at least.
We should talk about. So we got the Chris Rush, Ebon Hand, and the Liz Danforth Circle him. How do we feel about the power ranking of the Chris Rush?
Hey, this is in near mint condition, my friend. These are going to be prizes I'll probably give out to the next event.
They're definitely slabbable.
Oh, yeah. These are super nice.
This is actually my favorite.
I like the art with the centaur, dude.
That's the most Evanston one.
Ebon Hand number dose.
Oh, boom.
Oh, but the other Ebon Hand is the, this is the one that everybody likes. The Ron Spencer chainsaw hand.
Hell yeah. That's the good one.
I like the Chris Rush one. It's, you know, it's they're a little, she's like very pensive.
Just play
she's
one
like,
of each, man. You're going to run 4 in your deck. Just play one of each.
Play one of each is strong.
Orcish Spy.
Boom.
So Orcish Spy.
The card's sick.
This lets you look at the top 3.
Can you tell me what this card does without looking at it?
You have to look at the top card in your opponent's library, right?
Top 3.
It's target player, so you can do yourself.
Okay.
Or you can do your opponent.
Just look at the top 3.
Think about it this way. You play this in Grindstone, and then you never draw bad cards.
Yeah, you could play Sylvan Library, but you could also play Orcish Spy, because he gets in there when you need it to. He's also not a goblin, he's an orc.
Yeah, so he's one red.
I mean, the art on this card is so cool. He's got like a... He's got like a something over his eye. He's like holding a torch to this like.
Isn't
he? He's like an orc with a monocle holding a torch over this like, fucking. It's not like a treasure map. And look, the map has PV, Pete Venter's signature on it. Wow, that's a really fucking cool card.
Sick. Wait, it does?
Yeah. Look at the bottom of the map. It says PV.
So it's that's dope.
So it's like Venter's signed.
I like that.
He didn't sign the art. He like signed like the little map. That's fucking cool.
All right, what else we got? We've got the Vodalian soldiers. It's a Merfolk 1/2 for 2. Nothing. Vanilla.
1/2 for 2. Yeah, it's funny because in the same set there's River Merfolk, which is a 2/1 Merfolk that also gets Mountain Walk.
If your opponent controls a mountain. An island or something like that?
You pay a blue and it gets Mountain Walk.
Then we got Feralite Priest. You can pay colorless to add a white. So actually not terrible.
So it's like the it's like the white version of Initiates of the Ebony.
Yeah. And limited.
It's a 1/3 that's rancid.
For 2 white and a color. Yeah, in limited, that's not good. In constructed, it's still not good. And then last but not least, we've got Thrall Wizard, which is fucking dope. My favorite.
Oh, man, the Ansematics. What is. Okay. 1 and a black counters a black spell if caster of target spell does not pay an additional black or 3 colorless. And it's a 1. This card is absolutely rancid.
Yeah.
It's got like a built-in
what? For black.
It only covers black spells.
So, but it's good if they tap out and they've got a strip mine or...
No, it's never good, dude.
Dude.
This guy kind of looks like he could be your brother. Carter.
So, it counters black spells and they can pay black mana to prevent the effect.
Sick.
It like gives your opponent like every chance to
Wizard
to play around.
So is Thala the best card in this pack for 3 for 2, or is Order of the Even Hand is a 2/1?
Casting a are you kidding me? Casting a turn 2 him against your opponent.
All right. So we'll do him, and it's the best start. That was okay.
And there's 2 orders. So two orders in him is black solid enemy. Solid collection value.
That's a black pack right there.
That's a black pack.
Yeah, these are going to be some prize cards probably sooner than later.
But you know the person who you pass to is going to take the Order of the Ebon Hand. They're going to be in black. And then the person next to them...
Well, think about it this, though. If we see four packs, though, and there's an Order of the Ebon Hand, you can draft multiple orders.
Yeah.
Pretty easily.
Light burst, so.
A bummer. All right.
All right, so thanks to... Was it Mace?
Mace, yeah. Okay. Thanks for that. Fun rendezvous
Mace.
Of...
Mace?
Yes.
Windu.
Mace
Windu. He bought me a beer too, so I really appreciate it for the pack. I'll definitely play one of those eventually. Maybe if I play Mono Black. But, so we have LobsterCon coming up, set up by Dave Firth Bard.
Yeah, it's in a couple weeks.
Were they able to expand the, they only had like so many spots, and they were able to up it.
I think it's like 80 or 90.
That's pretty good. Do we know if it filled out yet?
I think it's sold out, yeah.
Did it really? Awesome.
So it'll be a big event.
So who is going? Because I am not.
Myself, Bob.
Edders
and Little Greg.
Little Greg.
So I think that's it, because Mullen was thinking about going, but I think he's busy with school stuff. So I think it's just the 4 of us going to be running out there.
Danny, cool. Danny's flying up from... Danny was actually... Danny,
really?
Danny Freed? Oh, Freed. Danny, he Danny moves who? Away and you don't know who Danny is.
That's awesome.
Danny sent me his like very typical text message.
I'm sorry, Danny.
He sends me this very typical text message where he's like, hey, man, take a look at this list. I'm like, dude, this is the deck with 1 Underworld Dreams. He's like, yeah, it's funny, right? I'm like, no, dude, it's the deck. If you're playing the deck, just play the best version of the deck. Don't play the deck with, like, a millstone.
With a triple black spell that you're going to have to somehow cast.
Triple black spell. He's like, yeah, it's funny. Like, I kill him in 15 turns.
Maldo's going out, too.
And Baldo's going?
So there will be 6 of us, I guess. That's pretty good.
Yeah. Well, cool.
I played the deck after Slack left. To commemorate Matt Slack saying farewell.
Rest in peace.
Did you guys know that deck?
Rest in peace.
R.I.P.
You guys know that deck?
He's down in Florida getting blown around by the hurricane, dude. I don't know if he's...
I think that missed him, didn't it? It hit Carolinas.
Yeah.
Well, I know Jacksonville. I know one of the guys that I met that plays old school up in Jacksonville was getting hit a little bit, but that was not too bad.
Well, you know, best to all our Florida
Slack
old schoolers.
Slack and swim. He'll be all right.
Yeah.
Yeah, dude. The dude's buff. So anyway, I guess, well, Moss, you were talking a little bit about what you were thinking of playing, just kind of kicking around some ideas.
I've just been trying a whole bunch of different things. I've dicked around with a little bit of White Weenie. That sucked ass.
We actually had some pretty good games.
Yeah, mono green. But I mean, it's...
Playing that for multiple rounds.
Yeah, that was interesting because it was mono white versus mono green, but...
Yeah, but you're gonna. Yeah, but half the time, in a eight.
Like I'm not gonna fly to the East Coast and then, fly to the Northeast and then play mono white.
Yeah.
So
add red to it at the least.
Though it is kind of funny. Like some of the best games of old school that I've played, like the most intense, challenging, skill intensive games, are just with those like monocolored, sort of budgety decks.
They make your plays. They make you play tighter because you have to, because you don't have as much firepower as what you would maybe normally have if you splash, say, blue for power or red for burn, or things like that.
You're trying to execute a specific plan. Too.
Sure. Yeah.
And the creatures kind of end up smashing against each other and interacting with each other.
Yeah.
Like, If your deck is like, eight lightning bolts and four swords to plowshares, then if you play a tracker, that card is going to be a 3-mana 2/2 that just attacks them, right?
Yeah.
You blow all their other creatures out of the water. But when you, and this is actually something that I was maybe hoping on, like, touching on later, but like, it's kind of funny when you leave like removal out of your decks, which I've been kind of trying lately, not necessarily because I like have this hatred of lightning bolt or swords to plowshares. It's just that like the strategies, I guess, that my decks have been employing I haven't really had space for that stuff. And when both players get to just lay their hands out on the table, that's when like some really weird stuff starts happening.
Yeah.
It's really cool.
Cascading effects.
Yeah, and then weird interactions between cards. Like I said, creatures kind of smash up and into each other.
Yeah.
I don't know. There's something to be said with how simple the monocolored strategies are and how they allow a game to unfold as opposed to just like absolutely barraging each other, and it's really just like one Savannah Lions or one Order of the Ebon Hand that ends up killing your opponent after so many turns.
Yeah, since I got the counter spells from you, I actually put together mono blue.
That's how I started. Fucking love it. Are you playing Force Spike?
I have two force spike, four counter spell, four serendibs. Like it's pretty basic.
That's how I started. I fucking love that deck.
And I was like, I played pretty much every other monocolor deck besides blue, and that's just because I never play blue. And then eventually, I built the deck. Was like, shit, I need some counter spells.
And mono blue has everything. So. It has counter magic. It has direct damage.
Yeah. You can play Power 9 as well. Like, I'm not playing a budget. I've got proxies of Ancestral and Time Twister, so I'm gonna play them. Because my plan is, at least, I'm not going to be buying any cards anytime soon, but I would like to get some Trops and play some blue-green stuff.
I tried that blue green Arabian stew. That thing was putrid.
You were trying with Sinbad, right?
Yeah.
I'm not playing Sinbad.
The synergy with Sylvan Library is pretty sick, but that deck was a little bit undercooked. It just had no removal. To counter your point here, I was trying to rely on the counter spells to just prevent things. Where it's like, oh shit, I didn't have a counter spell. That threat hit the deck, and it's like, I have no way to fucking deal with it. I gotta try to like just beat it down with a bigger dude.
Oh my god, dude. When I started, right, I was playing mono blue, and like so many times I would like psionic blast their Curdate because I just like had to get it off the table, and I was like, yeah, this is not a winning strategy. This is no bueno.
Yeah, you want to be beaten down with Serendibs and maybe get in 4-8 damage with
flood,
it.
Man.
Or what's the double blue that whenever opponent taps land they take a point? It's got the snake on it.
Psychic venom,
yeah. Buddy.
Ray was playing that recently.
Yeah.
Ray was playing a really sick psychic venom.
Ray can go fuck himself. That's all I gotta say.
What, psychic venom and Icy's?
And hell Icy's, yeah. And Arborea. So once you put the Arborea down, you don't need to do anything else besides tap
just
their land with
away.
Icy to win
just
the game.
Them away, yeah.
right? You never need to play another land. You never need to play. It's like standstill, or like stasis. You're like, you don't need to do anything else, and you kill it.
Ray was using that against me, but I just balled him with Mana Clash.
That's all right, dude. I'll just Mana Clash you to death.
All right, whatever, dude.
Play this fringe shit. If you're going to play my fringe shit, that's fine.
Exactly. So Sinbad and Sylvan Library is a package, right?
Yeah.
That can go into...
So do you like Sylvan Library now?
I said, you need to do something.
His point
with it, right?
His point was on its own.
Yeah.
Though it's so funny. After
he's
that,
still wrong, but he's got an opinion.
After that podcast, I show up with my mono green deck and Sylvan just to some random meetup, and I'm just cleaning house with this deck, and Sylvan Library is just handily winning me every single game.
You want to know why? Because it's information.
Yeah.
Information wins the game.
It makes you, we don't have to get down this rabbit hole again, but it lets you think at least a turn ahead, which in Magic can go very long way. Yeah, at least. When you play it, that's two turns, which can kind of get you over a hump if you need to. But regardless, the Sinbad package is always good.
So the Sinbad
package,
it's thinking, I guess I'm just trying to think off the cuff about what kind of deck that card draw package would be good in. Obviously, Sinbad is a really fragile card, and he accumulates advantage over a long term.
Mm-hmm.
So you'd have to come up with some kind of strategy that either builds up an insurmountable advantage, perhaps has some sort of combo finish.
I think a Brand Geyser can do it, because if you play Brand Geyser for two, you then get to see three more new cards. With Sylvan, if we're Death, if
yeah,
we're
I would put Brain Geyser in any group.
Sure. But I'm saying with Sylvan, if you've got a Sylvan out and you're like, man, I don't want a Brain Geyser for only two, you can go, well, I've got a Sylvan, which will then let me see a fresh three.
True.
So it'll
bad cards though.
Well, sure, but at the same time, it's still you're going to see a little bit more. You're going to see three more cards a turn earlier or a couple turns earlier. If you're not willing to take, would you rather Brand Geyser for two or take four for an extra one or eight even, which is then that's a lot.
I've Brand Geysered for two way more than I should have.
Yeah,
exactly. Four for two is not a bad trade though.
No, so not at all. Especially when you need to clean those lands off, or you need to hit that land drop, but you don't want to take four because you need to draw that gas piece and not the land instead.
Well, yeah. So back to the Sinbad. What about just Rug? Bizarre Zoo, you're going to have the Bizarre Sylvan Engine. Rug, you've got your blue draw spells, maybe a wheel, but this is another way that you can work with the Sylvan.
Yeah. I guess the thing is that
you're going to have a density of threats, too, so they're going to be trying to take out Ape or Ernie, Serendib, whatever else.
And then you drop.
I don't know. It's still kind of fringy.
My issue with that is those Arabian creatures that you play encourage you to end the game quickly. Serendib pings you for one a turn. It encourages you. It's an attacking card. None of those djinns are defensive cards.
Yeah, Sinbad's not really.
And I think Sinbad accumulates value over the long term. It's more slower, more controlling. Same with Urnam Djinn, man. Urnam Djinn, it's got a 5 toughness, but it doesn't block, right?
So bring it back to Ray's Arboreath. Oh, it's creatures that don't attack. Right there. So you can still activate his ability, right?
Yeah.
So now think about some kind of a green control, green X control.
Mm-hmm.
Well, blue-green, I'm sorry.
Blue-green X control.
Yeah, but you could also trash non-land cards you don't want to draw as well.
Oh yeah.
Which is nice.
Every time you activate it with the Sylvan in play, it doesn't even necessarily need to. Right, like you said, it doesn't. You don't need to hit the land.
Sure.
You just activate it, bin some Felberstone or some crap that you don't need, a redundant copy of Arboria or something, and it just digs you closer and closer.
Has to survive. But I think Sinbad's not a big enough threat for people to go swords it. They're not gonna instantly do it.
If they're smart and you have Sylvan out, they'll do everything they can to get rid of that dude because you're just gonna accrue so much advantage.
Not everyone's smart, Matt, like me.
Well actually, that's kind of a good point. If it's
correct.
The only creature in your blue-green prison control deck, then I think that's probably why we don't see too much of it, because I think a lot of the times it's probably your only their only target for removal, so you rarely get to untap a thing.
I mean, it's fringy, but it's still pretty cool when it's online.
Yeah, I mean, I've recently been playing a lot of decks with Sage Latinam, which like looks kind of like a shitty card, but when you untap with the Sage, all you have to do is play a artifact that is a threat,
and you're gonna draw a card.
And when they go to disenchant it, boom, you sack it to draw a card, and then you do that enough times, and you just kind of run your opponent out of resources. You know, even if you're playing Suchis and Triskelions, their swords advantage. And the things will just like boost up and up and up and up and up. So they have to. So with your Sinbad, I guess you also have to play threats that force them to use their swords.
Yeah.
It just sucks how you can play 8 bolts in this format, man. That's just always rubbed me the wrong way.
I mean, Earthquake's gonna take him out, so they'll save the bolts for your face.
Ugh.
Many decks don't really play a lot of Earthquake, so if they're playing bolts, because they're probably playing low to the ground stuff. At least that's what I would think.
So good with those little guys.
But anyways, so getting off the Sinbad tip here. So for LobsterCon, I'm thinking about trying like what I'm calling 4-color black, which is really just a suite of your black package creatures, your knights, orders, hippies, hymns, jizams, and then supplement that with a bunch of multicolored good stuff. So bolts, blue power, white permission cards, and then just have all your mana base be stacked so that basically everything makes black, but then you have just enough, color splash in there to support everything. So I don't know, we'll test that out this week. I think we're meeting up tomorrow or Thursday or whatever.
Yeah,
I'll battle with that and see what's cooking.
How
the idea? So I saw a list that O'Brien played at last year's ball, the first ball, and his was red, white, black, but it was like base white, so it had the white knights and Sarah Angels,
uh-huh.
And then he was supporting it with like black good stuff, Darylors, which was sick. And
that must have been his only black card.
Darylor, Mind Twist, and DT.
Oh, yeah.
And then he had like some red stuff like Bolt. He threw in some spicy stuff like Two-Headed Giant. But my thought there was, what if we take that color combo and then we just invert it so it's base black, play all the double black stuff, hymns, and then now I'm just using the white for support and the red for direct damage. Mm-hmm. But then it was like, well, fuck it, I'll just throw in Time Walk and Ancestral.
Yeah.
I can add 4 Underground C.
It's not that big of a deal.
Well, you
play at least one basic island, because Blood Moon will fuck you up.
No, dude, I'm not playing basic island.
No?
All right. I have 2 blue cards in the deck. I'm not playing fucking basic island. I have a couple swamps in there, but
Blood Moon is soft. I don't care about that card.
Disenchant the shit out of that card. I don't care.
Who cares? I've played many decks with mana bases that consist only of duels and lost very few games to Blood Moon.
Blood Moon, it's...
I'll disenchant the shit out of that card.
Blood Moon in our meta, no one really played. But that's the thing, half the time we just meet up, Blood Moon isn't a card that I jam.
I mean,
if I were to meet up and I was playing red-white,
I would
play that in like an eight-round tournament, but if I'm going to a bar, I'm going to side it out every time. It's because I don't want to play Blood Moon against you and go, alright, guess game, pack them up, and then we play another one. Like, that doesn't... seem to me not how I'd want to play.
It's not sporting, is it? Yeah, I don't know. I think there are definitely like Blood Moon strategies. I've tried to play
using it in lieu of land destruction is an interesting, like, so for my red decks where I have fucking Yedwin Ifrit and Mijay Jin, which are 3 reds, right?
Yeah.
Or Ball Lightning if you use Ball Lightning. Like, you need to be able to be hitting 3 mountains consistently on turn 3. So you don't want to fuck around with Strip Mines. So maybe 1. But why not just do Blood Moon, take out Library that way? Or take out their factories or their strips that way?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think it's like, a couple Blood Moon is good in a mono red or a big red build.
Yeah.
Now, maybe not in the big red one that ran Gauntlets, because all of a sudden you're just powering up their mana base, right? It's like, hey, I just gave you a bunch of mountains and doubled them up. I mean,
it's like, now great, I can cast my Triskelions or...
Yeah.
Yeah, you probably want a couple on the board, maybe, but yeah.
What about Sinkhole? How do you feel about Sinkhole? Speaking of land destruction in black.
So I'm not going to run it in this one, because I'm only running a couple of Strip Mines just to attack the Library. And I'm just going to stay away. I've got the hippies and I've got the hymns. I'm taking that tack rather than the strips and sinkholes.
Four sinkhole in a Swedish meta, I think, is a lot better because it gives you an opportunity for five land destruction spells main deck rather than playing four strip mines. Sure, I feel like you destroy a land with orb only in like very specific scenarios where it's like, fuck, they're not drawing anything else. But whereas like you can play eight, like if I played red, green, black land destruction, you're playing four ice storm, four.
Yeah, but what are you doing? You're fucking around with their mana base, but what are you actually?
You're gonna play a Shivan Dragon and beat their face.
I've tried shit like this, and it's actually not terrible. I've just done red green. I actually have played it, like I played like three Jame Daytomes in that deck.
The hardest part is having double black, but at the same time,
you play with like Birds of Paradise, Llanowar Elves, four Strip Mine, four Ice Storm, four.
Stone Rain.
Four Stone Rain. I played three books. I played four Urnums and like some amount of Shivans. Maybe like three. And then Fireball.
That sounds
I played like
shitty.
Two to three Fireballs. Deck's sick, dude. I'll crush you with the Stone Rain. No worries.
So when they have four lands on deck and you're like, wow, I'll blow up one and I've got a grip. Just start drawing sinkholes. Sucks ass. Dude.
Well, that's the thing. You want the power, but the hope you with that deck, you need to be ahead right off the bat. If you're not ahead turn two, then you're probably going to be even or behind, or your spells are not going to be progressing your game plan any faster.
Yeah, that shit's so bad against like a Serendib of Freak. A Serendib of Freak, you're like, cool, kill your land.
Yeah.
Sweet, I'll do three.
So
over and over and over.
All right, well, we've pushed this boulder far enough up the hill.
Yeah, I don't know. I like that idea. Those are all, like, you know, some of the most iconic, badass black creatures. It's just it's just kind of like...
So, are you going to play a Nightmare, or are you going to play a Sangreen?
Okay. I don't know. Nightmare is kind of tasty. You know what's a sick card I'm thinking about?
Mono Black, that won one of the Swedish tournaments that had a...
Cormis Bell, dude. You know that
Don't play Cormis... No.
Four mana artifact.
Four turns on this one. 1/1 colorless dudes.
Yeah, like, dude.
As your ace in the hole late game, slam it because they already entered. They already ETB'd, so you just slam it and win.
That's it. Oh wait, what about what's the name of the dude from Fallen Empires who does that?
Thelenite Monk.
Thelenite.
We didn't rip
Druid.
That pack, did we?
Yeah. No, we didn't. Thelenite Druid. Thelenite Druid is like it's a 3-mana 2/3.
Yeah.
Sacrifice a forest and tap to make all your forests 2/3s.
2/3s. Yeah.
Until end of turn?
Something gnarly like that.
That card is fucking cool, man. How come nobody plays with that? There's like
stew it up.
There's like a combo deck for sure. Like a fast bond deck with Thelenite Druid.
What did you buy out?
How do you spell?
I'm already on the tracker plan. I'm trying to drive up the price of tracker.
I've seen
cards
with shoebox full of trackers.
It goes from the floor to the ceiling. I have a whole closet. You open the door and the tracker's
just GG low end finance.
Some people are buying out tabernacles. I like the penny. Penny
stocks. They have the highest gain, but yet the smallest return.
That shit is so rancid. Can we play Sinbad and Sylvan in our Thelenite Druid deck?
Boom. All right. With our Borea, you just keep accruing those forests.
With our Borea, you keep... Oh, wait, no. If you play a land, they get to attack. With Arborea, if you play any card, any permanent.
Oh, that sucks. I thought it was if you attack.
Yeah, with Arborea, you have to find
a
place where the like you can freeze the game.
Yeah, I mean, you could play into it, too. It's like, hey, I really want this thing, but...
Oh, yeah, yeah, actually, that's the cool part
about it.
If
you're holding a grip of removal, it's like, okay, well, what are you going to do? Because I can counter it.
Yeah, I'll just counter it. Or, like, you know... I guess I was thinking like the Hive, maybe. If you get like five mana in play plus
sick.
The Hive,
yeah.
You get into a spot where you can just make Hive tokens every turn, and then when you have 40, you play land and attack.
I mean, Thalanite Druid is... I'm playing that card. I'm just going
to... All right, well, we're hacking to get
Isn't it really impressive?
I mean, 2/3s until end of turn...
Yeah.
Isn't terrible because if you have a couple,
sack a creature, not a forest. You could sack anything.
Yeah, like a
sack. You could sack it
or whatever
to itself and all the forests. You just need to come up with the one green, but then all the forests become 2/3 creatures.
Yeah,
this card is good. And
two and a green.
Fallen Empires is just crap.
Two and a green for a 1/1. You pay one and a green, tap it, sack a creature, so you could sack itself. Force you control become 2/3.
Forests.
Forests.
Okay,
forests.
This is not good. Right? Well, maybe for your mono green.
All the duels, man. Your taigas, your bayous.
Your trops.
Your tropicalis lands.
Boom.
Yeah, the tropical island.
Or you play savannas, like, and then you can play.
Ability? Can you rip it out right when you cast her?
No. You got to tap.
It's a tap.
You got to tap the druid, so it's got something.
It is a 2. No, it's a 1/1. I was wrong. It is a 1/1, but the. Okay, let's.
It was good enough for them to be.
Wasn't Cooney doing something with this guy?
Was he?
I don't know. I just play savannas and play a white weenie, and then you're playing some fucking. Crusades, and all of a sudden your guys are fucking 4/5s.
No, do you know what Crusade does?
Oh, it pumps white guys. Fuck.
What the fuck are we talking about?
It's been a while, man. It's
so maybe he's doing.
What else is it? What else is in the Selenite Druid deck? Fast bond, 100%, right? Fast bonds in there.
I think you play Giant Growth and or because if you've got 4 and they have to choose blockers and they have 2, you can get them with a for 5 damage.
Though, I feel like you just want to go off, man. That's like small ball. We want, like, draw 7s. We want all the broken cards.
It's a combo.
Fast bond. You play the Thelonite Druid. You time walk, untap, sack, make them all creatures.
I'm actually curious if the creatures are green creatures, because lands are technically not.
Right, so, like, in the Cormis Bell example, they're not black. So the swamps are colorless 1/1.
Oh, these are just colorless 2/3s.
Combo okay. With bad
news. Yeah. That's what it was. I don't know why I was
that
thinking.
Would be really funny.
I know.
Yeah, no, lands are colorless. I don't know what else. I'm gonna think on this.
Right, we'll stew around.
Holler at me if you have any sick Thelonite Druids ideas. Creatures for 2 and a green. That is my jam right there.
Yeah, you just need a mass pump spell.
Well, segueing into other unrestricted powerful cards, like the Thelonite Druid.
Super powerful.
Carter had this idea, or was it you, Grant? I'm sorry, but we were going to discuss some of the more powerful unrestricted cards.
I think we I don't know. It doesn't matter who thought of it.
Obviously.
If it's a good idea, I thought of it. If it's a bad idea, he thought of it.
Yeah.
So how do you want to set this up? How do you want
to
frame it?
It's hard because I want to go Lightning Bolt, but at the same time, it's like that card has been unrestricted in every fucking format that it's been printed in, so it's like...
Well, we want to set up in a couple tiers, right?
Well, I think old school is that, like, the removal spells cast a really large shadow over the format, and though that is Lightning Bolt, Swords to Plowshares, Disenchant, and I think Chain Lightning too. I was kind of mentioning this before, but I think the fact that you can play with 8 Lightning Bolt effects in a deck has really determined what some of the most powerful strategies are. And that's shit that I think about when I build my decks.
Counterspell.
You know? I think about... Oh, and yeah, and Counterspell.
Counterspell would be up there.
You gotta take Counterspell into consideration. Counterspell is definitely another one of those removal spells. And so then you got to think, like, you got those in a tier by itself. And then if you look down at the creatures that people are playing most of the time, they're creatures that kind of get around those removal spells, right?
Well, yeah, but hold up. Before we get to the creature tier, I want to make a special case for a card that you're intimate with, Copy Artifact. As one of the best unrestricted cards.
Okay, holler.
Just because it has so much utility. Now, it's situational, right? So it could just sit in your hand dead. But it could be a land, it could be a factory, it could be a creature, it could be a 1 in a blue Triskelion.
Mm-hmm.
Copy an orb, could make a second mana source, copy your opponent's Soul Ring. You know, the utility is, I mean, it's pretty wide if you're building around it.
Yeah, I think so too. I think that's what actually makes it a particularly satisfying card. I don't find Swords to Plowshares, Lightning Bolt, and Disenchant very interesting. They solve problems.
They're a necessary evil.
Yeah, I mean, they solve problems. Like, nobody wants to get stuck behind, you know, the Abyss if they're playing a creature-based deck, right? So thank God we have Disenchant.
And you need a way out against Taiga, Curde, Pass.
Yeah, you want to be able to make a play against that and then
otherwise
play
that's
your...
invincible.
Repentant Blacksmith or whatever.
Hey, I brought it up because I was like, what card is pro-red? And I couldn't think of it, and it's Repentant Blacksmith.
It is Repentant Blacksmith. Yeah. I think that's a really cool card. I would play it in a white.
It's not deck. Up in the tier that is what we're talking about, but yeah, it was. Yeah. It's a good sideboard card for the Red Mirror if you're playing goblins, because there seems to be a couple goblins at least every big tournament so far this past year has had a couple mono red goblin decks.
I feel like you could easily play a white weenie deck. Now, it's mono white, runs four Crusades, you run four Order of Leaper, and instead of the White Knights, you run four Repentant Blacksmith.
No.
Why not?
No.
Is that one white or one white?
One and a white. It's easier on the mana. It's a 1/2 pro red.
Pro, you're going to see more black. I just think I think the pro white, the first strike 2/2.
Pro red's better than pro black, dude.
No, but I'm sorry, but the first strike is significantly better.
You're saying it doesn't like brawl as not well with creatures knight, on the ground. Yeah, I guess that is reasonable. I guess just as like a threat that sticks around and gives you utility and
if we're talking about playing four Crusades, all of a sudden you probably have a 3/3 first striker, which is huge.
In the case of White Knight, mm-hmm. Still that is the Lightning Bolt, not the Repentant Blacksmith. If you're expecting to go against like some ATOG deck that plays 8 Lightning Bolt effects and ATOG.
They're not playing 8 Lightning Bolt effects in an ATOG deck.
That's the whole point. This is what I always say. It's not a fucking ATOG deck. It's a blue-red burn deck.
Yeah.
You play four Lightning Bolts. I hate this fucking deck. Four Lightning Bolts, fucking Black Vices.
Let's not go down this fucking
road.
This road has been weather-beaten.
Okay,
rebuilt and destroyed again.
So those are the instants and sorceries. I don't know if there's anything else that...
Copy artifact.
Yes.
So to return to copy artifact, it's a card that rewards you. Like you play it as a four of.
Three or four.
Which is a testament to its power. Same like Lightning Bolt. Same like Disenchant.
I think if you're playing three, you play that fourth copy.
Depends.
Yeah, it depends.
Because it makes all of a sudden you've got 8 Triskelions in your deck. Right,
but you still have to put the first one into play.
It makes it easier to get the second one.
Yeah,
sure, and that's fine. But it's still you're able to get more incremental draws of a Trisk.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. Well, yeah. When you get to copy, I've been playing a lot of Triskelions and copies, and when you get a chance to copy it, it just like keeps rolling.
Those trikes were sick too, by the way.
Oh yeah, thanks, dog. But also, like when you use the trike to kill their dudes. This is the best part. When you use the trike to kill their dudes and it's got no counters on it, what are they going to bolt it?
Yeah.
What are they going to, like, swords it or disenchant it? And then you play the copy artifact and they have to waste, like, a real card on a 1/1?
Power back up and then, you're going to blow up my dude, my 1/1 dude, and I'll just draw a card off the blue egg tug.
Yeah.
It's a pretty sick synergy.
It's sick. You know what? Speaking of Triskelion, something really interesting came up with Chaos Orb. Right, because have we talked about this on the podcast before?
No.
Like how the actual rule for Chaos Orb works?
It doesn't target.
You activate Chaos Orb, and they can either choose to respond to it,
or they do not. And if they do not, then you choose the spell.
So you activate Chaos Orb. They have a Triskelion in play, right?
Mm-hmm.
They'll probably respond to it, right? Shoot you for 3 or something if like nothing is on board. This happened kind of recently. My opponent like shot me for 3, and I'm like, okay.
No, but if they have a Library of Alexandria, that's up in the air then, depending on the match.
Well, yeah, it depends on how many cards they have in hand. Yeah. So you're saying.
Let's say they have 6.
So they shoot me for 3, and then Picard like slides his strike over to me, and I'm like, I'm not killing that.
It's a 1/1 now.
I'm killing your land.
Sure, you know? But are they able to? If you then choose a target, are they then able to then shoot you for 3?
No, choose a target.
You don't choose a target.
So it nullifies the stack.
Well, by the time Chaos Orb is resolving, your opponent cannot do anything.
Okay.
If you say I activate Chaos Orb and they say all right, then you get to flip on their trike with 4 counters.
Cool.
They're always going to respond, right? Because if they don't respond, then you flip onto the trike.
But I mean,
you're not priced into flipping onto the trike, right?
Sure. You can get rid of the one colored land that they might need, or something of that nature.
Yeah, it's not like a disenchant where, like, you know, the disenchant is already targeting the trike; it's going to resolve.
So
you're going to take 3.
With that?
I just thought it was an interesting play. It wasn't like particular. I don't know if it like won me the game, but it was just. I don't know. I just think that's interesting.
Did he shoot you for 3?
Yeah.
And then he was like, "Okay."
It doesn't matter because Carter missed the flip anyway.
Yeah.
It's a long ramble that goes nowhere. Again.
So we got the tier. We got the upper tier of removal unrestricted stuff. Removal Top spells. And then the creatures that slide under it, right?
Yeah.
Savannah Lion slides under Counterspell because it's a one drop. Same with Curdate. That's why everybody plays it. It's like the most bang for your buck for the one drop slot.
Serendip avoids Bolt and Chain.
Serendip avoids Bolt and Chain. Urnum avoids Bolt and Chain. And I don't know. What are some other like bruisers? Atog avoids Bolt. It pretty much trades with any. I think Atog has kind of proven itself to be like one of the big bruisers.
It's hard for this tier as well because.
I mean, like, so we're talking like. I mean, like, you just don't slap Atog in anything. I don't want to go down this fucking road, right? But, I mean, it's. Or like Ernie, you just don't slap an Ernie in anywhere, or Curdate.
So that's
like
actually true. That's actually true.
Now Serendip, meanwhile, you basically slap him in everywhere. Everywhere you can, you could play him. You probably should play him.
And earn him, too, I think. If you're playing green, you can throw an earn him or two in your deck.
We're talking green versus blue here.
Sure. Right?
So, like, blue, you're more likely to splash. You're already splashing blue for the power, so now you add in the Serendips. Green, maybe you're adding in Regrowth. Maybe Sylvan, but do you want to necessarily support four more green cards for that purpose? You're less likely than on the blue side.
Well, both Urnum and Serendib, like I said, convince you to end the game faster. They're not blocking cards.
Yeah, it depends
on
your strategy.
Well, I think any Serendib deck is trying to kill you quickly, because if you don't, then the Serendib will kill you. So,
yeah.
with a lot of Serendib decks, you see all the bolts, all the chains, and some amount of psionic blasts, so that the Serendib is not this, like, it's not like a tactical piece on the board. It's like a lightning bolt on a stick.
If we're going to put Serendib up there, Giant Spider. Like, come up with the Serendib.
Well, I think Giant Spider, the Giant Spider is like the next level, right?
Tier 3.
It's the tier three, but this
or two and a half, 2.5.
It's the card
tier six.
But no,
it's the card that you play.
I fucked Dom.
Everybody else plays.
Dom, Juzamjin can eat shit when it comes to my giant spiders. So,
well, Juzamjin can eat shit when it comes to White Knight. That's got to be a horrible fucking feeling.
It was like, when you're about to play, I just slapped a $900 Juzamjin.
That's why I never, ever feel bad about not owning Juzams.
By order of Lyper.
Yeah, just, I'll block it every turn until I can pump it up to a 5-power.
See, that's the thing, though. You don't kill it, because it's slowly killing your opponent.
Oh, I know, right? Like, why? Yeah.
You don't even bother.
Why let it go?
I think I did that to Danny Dunaway at the Novice Con split event, where I played white, mono white on one half, and then the 95 deck. He was playing mono black. I think he had a Juzam, and I just balled the shit out of it with like an Order of Lyper or a White Knight.
That's gotta feel so terrible because your Juzam is so fancy. It's also the same thing. It encourages you to end the game quicker.
Yeah.
Which is why, like, depending on your strategy, man, there's a time when you should put Azure Drake into your deck over Serendip.
Yes.
If you're trying to slow the game.
Azure Drake doesn't die to City in a Bottle.
There's that too.
Well, there's that too. You've thank, got some options I just there. Want to say thank God for City in a Bottle. I fucking love that card.
I love it, dude. I just got a third one too. And
you did? Nice.
Oh my God, I love that card.
that card puts a smile on
me. I know I'm ruined with Jizam Gins right now, but that aside, yeah, City in a Bottle is the fucking nuts.
The great equalizer.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think turn tier two, though.
Dude, maybe that is on this list. Somewhere in this mystery tier with copy artifact, sitting in a bottle.
Well, it's the next level. It's like it's on the giant.
It kills the
level.
Best creatures,
dude,
in old school.
Come on,
but
man.
It's no.
Some
but
of
you,
the.
Did you see what I'm talking about? Where it's like there's the removal, that's one umbrella.
Yeah.
There's the creatures that beat the removal, that's the other level.
I
and then there's
that.
The cards that beat the creatures that beat the removal,
okay.
which is the other level.
Yeah.
And so City in a Bottle is in Giant Spider world, man.
That's rough.
It's all about the cards. It's all about
so
the cards
where,
and context.
But where's the aforementioned copy artifact here in this pyramid?
I think it's in two.
Two?
Yeah. Because it's double blue, right?
No. It's one and a blue.
It's one and a blue.
I'm thinking of.
It's one and a blue.
Yeah.
It's you know what it is? It's kind of in the world of like Ivory Tower and Land Tax. Cards that like create archetype value by itself.
Outsized value if you build around it.
If you build around it.
Yeah.
Unrestricted cards that kind of pay you off for like making your deck around it. And then you can, and then it's like you can take that Ivory Tower land tax engine, right? Because all you need are a bunch of basics, white mana, and
a Time Twister.
And a Time Twister.
And you win the
put
game.
Put them all back in. And then
book it.
You have a deck, right? Mm-hmm. And so then it's like, what do I do with that package? That's why Sylvan and Sinbad is interesting to me, because it feels like it's in the same sort of world, except you know, Tax Tower are you know permanents that are way more difficult to remove. It's fucking hard to get rid of an enchantment. Also, when your opponent plays land tax,
we're creating another tier here that's like all these weird utility artifacts and enchantments.
Yeah,
like ones, the best of the best.
And these are my favorite ones, the ones that like create decks, create archetypes by themselves.
Black Vice, the Rack,
right? Shit like that.
Him to Turok. Yeah. Where's that one at?
Well, that one's kind of in like the top removal spells world.
At double black, it's up there with Lightning Bolt and shit at it as
yeah.
a double black.
In mono black,
it might be. It's the card that gives mono black that powerful. Staying power.
I would put him to Turok in the same tier as copy artifact. You have to build around it a little bit. You can't just add it in because it has a bunch of inherent value. You have to have a strategy that's going to unlock that value. In him sense, you're going to play a mono black or a base black deck. You know, in the copy artifact sense, right? It's just something heavy artifact.
I guess that makes sense. You have to capitalize on the advantage that it gives you early on, because you know that if you draw the card later in the game, it's not going to help you out at all.
I mean,
I like that.
Yeah,
I like that.
Boom.
I don't know. What are some other like insane unrestricted cards?
I mean, Goblin Grenade. Situational, that card can fuck you up.
Well, actually, it's true. That one's quite situational.
You pay two mana. I'm not gonna stack them. You pay one mana and you deal five damage.
Yeah, it's sick.
You're twoing for one yourself technically, because you're using two resources to then deal five damage. But I mean, you're playing mono red goblins. You're already playing four chains, four lightning bolts. What's that five damage gonna, you know, really get you over that hump?
In the game so fast, right?
Yeah.
You've played a little bit of Goblins, right?
Yeah, I like it. But I played it once or twice and I'm done. And I'm like, all right, cool. Maybe add black to it for fun or do something different, but
I think fucking five color Goblins is the way to go, dude. All your red, so you just run all those red duels and you just add a DT, a Mind Twist, a Regrowth.
What's the Goblin package?
I want to play Blood Moon, too.
I would do. Oh, yeah. And that's fine, too.
Blood Moon, same with Goblin King. That's tight.
Yeah. So, like, the package would be Balloon Brigade, Ride It Flies. If you're going to do the Blood Moon thing, you've got Goblin Raiders, which has base Mountain Walk. Mm-hmm. I guess they all get Mountain Walk from Goblin King.
Yeah. Yeah, because you're playing for Goblin King.
I don't know if there's a two-drop Goblin.
No, because you could play Sledder, because I always wish Ironclaw Orcs was technically a goblin, but it's not.
I know there are orcs.
It's an orc, not a goblin.
Yeah. You can play.
I mean, whatever. So you skip over to.
You can play Goblin Digging Team. I think that's a red and a color.
Does that make something unblockable?
No, it kills a wall.
So it kills a wall.
In Eternal Weekend last year, I played my last round. I played against goblins, and he was playing main deck Goblin Digging Team. So because it was a two drop goblin, I'm pretty sure. I'll triple check it. But
one drop, so then you just run the king at three, and then you're gonna have 12 or maybe a little bit more than 12, 14, 16 goblins.
Yeah, you want that amount of goblins definitely if you're playing four grenades.
Oh, Goblin Digging Team is actually mono red.
It's one red, sacrifice to destroy a wall. And yeah, that's a freebie, right? If there's Mons Goblin, if people play with Mons Goblin Raiders,
it's better than Mons.
You can play with Digging Team, has no abilities, right?
Yeah, I mean, I was playing, but I at a tournament weekend last year, I was playing Wall of Swords, and he fucked me up.
You can also sacrifice. No, never mind. You have to target the wall. I'm just saying, if they like try to drain life it for a bunch, you can't just like sack the goblin.
Yeah, it's got to have a target, unfortunately. Yeah, but
it's got to have a target.
Dude, that's a sick piece of technology right there. You can drain life the shit out of something that's a 1/1, right?
Actually, I don't think you can.
For each damage it deals, drain life deals 5 damage to a 1/1.
I don't think that's true, actually.
You gain a life for each damage.
I might be wrong. I think you might.
What if you spirit link?
Do you play marsh goblins or scarwood goblins?
Yeah, if you're gonna splash.
If you want, because marsh goblins have swamp walk too. Get you.
Get him.
Go on and get him.
So then you play the four grenades to turn it into a real deck, and then splash a bunch of restricted cards. No. I don't know.
Color goblins, baby.
Seems all
right. You got the card draw. You got a shitload of burn, right? Maybe a fireball or something. I don't know. Whatever.
Be pretty sick to have a pen blacksmith in your deck.
Siark.
The art on that card is fucking awesome. It's worth it for that alone.
What?
It's definitely worth it.
What is?
Repentant blacksmith.
Oh, yes.
Drew Tucker.
Goddamn right. But yeah, I think...
So what's next on the horizon? 95. We're getting together.
Boom.
Yeah, we're going to segue to 95 quick because we're almost at an hour, so we'll probably finish it up here in about 10, 15 minutes.
How about we just do like a little preview of kind of what we got brewing?
Yeah, so there's a 95 tournament on October 20th.
Yeah, we're going to try to set something up at 10:20.
I can't make it because I've got three weddings in October.
That's like the third or fourth time you've uttered, I can't make it, when we mentioned it.
Yeah, I know.
Just tonight, so.
Yeah.
I'm just pointing that out.
I know. I've got two weddings I have to attend and one wedding I have to officiate. Trust me, man. I really wish I could get together more often.
That's all good. Yeah, so I want to just do 95. I mean, we've just been fucking burning the midnight oil hair on old school, like the ball and LobsterCon Eternal. You know, et cetera, et cetera.
Feels so good to...
We got to shake it up.
Yeah, feels good to shake it up.
We got to brew outside the box here, so...
Are you going to try to run back your the Power Monolith deck that
I'm either going
to
do... Yeah, I'm thinking about that one, and I'm thinking about just some kind of reanimator build, because that deck is so fun. And I have Bizarres.
That deck is fucking gnarly.
When you have Bizarres, you should use them.
If you got your toys, play with them.
I'm thinking around those. But yeah, so we're gonna call it Fall Brawl, and it's just gonna be
a pure 95 event, right?
Yeah, I'm hoping. I don't know how many people we're gonna do it at D-Man. Hopefully, we get maybe two dozen people at the most. I'd be happy with that. But we'll do 5-6 rounds or whatever. And,
have a good time.
Yeah.
The 95 deck, when we played 95 at Essen House and at the 3-3 tournament we did, played green red spiders, and that deck was super fun. Super cool.
So
trapdoor.
Trapdoor, woolly.
Woolly spider, trapdoor spider, and I mean you play giant spider too, but that's from beta, but
I love a 2/4, man. I love them. Love them.
Woolly spider is what, 2/3?
I'd have to double check.
That ability of like exile giant spider and then exile
and an attacking creature. I think it has to be attacking.
Okay, so yeah,
because it like lures them into its trap.
Yeah, it's got to be attacking.
It's like he can just nab it deep, spawn, and disappear into a hole. I like the imagery on that, but
I do like that too. That's like classic, old school Magic, like top down design, like like Occasion Javelineers. It's like, what does this card do? Oh yeah, it throws a javelin.
Exactly.
But once you throw it, you don't have it anymore.
Exactly.
Are you looking up giant trapdoor spiders?
I'm just
looking up all of the
I'm just
spiders.
Double checking that I had it right. Yeah, Woolly Spider's 2 green and colorless. It is a 2/3, and then it can block creatures with flying, and if it does, it gets +0/+2.
That's sick. So it's a 2/5, so it can block
flyers.
Send gear.
That's sick.
Block Sarah Angel too, which is huge.
And Sarah Angel.
But usually, whenever we get together and play 95, people are more focused on Ice Age than anything.
A fucking sick ass deck that I've been thinking about too is Pox.
Mm-hmm.
Poxes. Oof. Triple black, sacrifice a 30 or lands. Is it lands, creatures, and life?
Each player loses a third of their life, then discards a third of the cards in their hand, then sacrifices a third of the creatures they control, then sacrifices a third of the lands they control. Round up each time.
What else goes in this Pox deck? Sinkhole, Him, Pox.
Underworld Dreams?
No. Because you're just... you're attacking all their resources. It's like permanent, just stuff that's outside that sac scope. So, fucking Ankh-Morpork, like what are like permanents that deal damage?
Yeah,
right. So you're just
Underworld Dreams.
Yeah, I mean maybe
because you're if you're doing losing a third of their life, those can ping it pretty good, especially
something
when
that would burn and you've got like Ankh. Or
Ankh would be
rack.
Good.
You got Hymns, you got like rack, the rack, Pox. Hymns, Pox,
Ankh. So you're kind of playing like a black red burn deck that is pretty heavy on resource now. Shit, it's worth a try, man.
Oh, that sounds sick.
Black cards.
And the art on that card is fucking broken.
That's another Drew Tucker card, is right? It? Yeah. Yeah, it's boasted. So on the topic of 95, I was listening to Mando's cast, and he calls me out. He calls me out.
So what did he say? Because I saw that, but I actually never went back and listened to the whole thing.
Carter's a fucking idiot.
he said, you're a fucking idiot, dude. He said, he challenged me to a game in 95. He said that he would play
hopefully a match.
He would play
one game on the line. All the marbles.
Mulligan to four. Oh, sick, I win.
Challenged one game in kidding. A money match.
I have done that before. So we'll come back to that story. I have played 95 for cash before. and I did win.
We'll play for cash.
We'll play for cash. No. And Mano challenged me to a match of 95. Mano said that he would play with his Necro, Hymn to Torak,
Mono Black
Consultation, Mono Black deck. And
Demonic Consultation is better than Necropotence in that deck anyway. So,
well, dude, Demonic Consultation gets you Necropotence.
I know. Exactly.
Well, what I'll say is, Mano, if you thought passing that kidney stone was painful,
I'm gonna be squealing.
Because you know what? I accept your 95 challenge, and I will beat you with zero copies of Necropotence and zero copies of Demonic Consultation in my deck. How about that?
Boom.
Gauntlet is thrown down. Get a hold of me. We'll make it happen.
Stream it for the people.
Because I can't get to Eternal Weekend. I can't get to Lobster Con. I'm doing a show. I do theater. I'm a fancy little theater boy. So it's gonna have to be over the interweb. So it'll be recorded for all time for your eternal shame.
Yeah.
Yeah. But how do we know? How are we gonna? You know, you guys will be playing on the web here. How are we gonna
just record it
from Gmail? We know you're not going to just be doing recall for three every turn. Oh, look,
shuffle,
another ancestor recall.
Shuffle the hands. Oh, that's weird, dude. I just so happened to grab it.
We'll need some impartial.
I'm a man of honor. Maybe I'll get somebody. Maybe I'll get a table. I'll get a table spotter.
We'll plan it so
just,
we can
I'm
all.
Just on my side. The show's yeah. Not
nah. Yeah. We'll figure it out. I think we could probably stream it pretty easily. Or what you could do is I'll set you up and we can record. We can just do a screen recorder and let you do go nuts and you can post. I'll help you post the video.
Boom. All right, Mano. Let's book it then.
Throw that gauntlet down.
The gauntlet is thrown down. I accept.
Cue the training montage.
it's just me in the mirror and I just watch all the skin slowly melt off my face. Become the skull.
One with the potence.
All right. I feel good.
Yeah.
Yeah,
we're about an hour. I think we're good. I'm sweating my newts off.
Here's the sweat lodge.
It's absolutely inhospitable back here. Thank you to my two co-hosts for sticking it out.
Episode 4 is finito.
So the next one we're going to do, we'll probably do a breakdown of the LobsterCon event with Lil Greg and Edders and Bob.
Cool.
A couple weeks now.
So. Yeah, works for me. You'll be hearing from them.
Yeah, I will.
And if something, you know.
Yeah, we're going to try to not. This podcast, we're not going to try to make it just us three every single time. With me not being able to play as much as I can, I can only do so much input.
We'll bring in guests.
But we're going to have guests, and then next week, the next podcast is going to be fun with Greg and Edders.
They can only tolerate so much of me, so.
Exactly. It should be good to get their input on that. But yeah, thanks for everything, and then,
Thanks again to Deuterino.
Mace for the Fallen Empires, and then a little tidbit, I am setting up a tournament in December, old school, 40 person max. Look out for the event poster that Edders is going to be getting
nice.
Up. There's going to be a nice name for it.
Hustle or the Christmas
party? Ooh, fuck! I think we're gonna have to change it to the Holiday
Gift
Hustle.
Exchange. Yeah.
Well, we're gonna do a fun gift exchange, and then it's gonna be at a brewery in Chicago on the South Side, and it's gonna be a good time.
Yeah, awesome.
So look out for that. Awesome. Thanks, guys.
Cool. Thank you.